How about now? Can you hear me?
That's what I need when I quiet y'all down. It's like a bullhorn, right? All right. So just Julie has some things she wants to pass around here. Sign-up sheets, if you're interested in those specific areas to be helping out, trying to gear up for the fall, looking for some Sunday school teachers, for nursery workers, right? Is there, what else is there there? Right, having two Sunday school classes for the kids. All right, so those are going to be passing around amongst you. And then just a reminder to, just a reminder too of the connection card, place on the back where you can put prayer requests, where you can put praises, you can put, if you have new information or changed information, that can go on the front. We ask that you take a look at that every week, and there's usually something that you could use prayer about, or there's something that God has done where you can give praise for, and you can turn those in the back in the basket on the way out. And I think I'll just go ahead and do announcements right now, too. All right, so Bob and Ruth are going to be back next month, and they want to go ahead and do another grief share class, and so they're asking people to sign up. There's a sign-up in the back. There's a place on there to put your name, and then the best day and time, so they're kind of get a feel for what would be the best to do that. It's a 13-week session, and so they want to get it started fairly soon so they can be done before the holidays. We could use some help for Awana. That's also coming up here in September. We get that started back up again. There's information in the bulletin about that. And then the adult class that I'm doing will have at least one more session. We've actually finished all the chapters, and we'll kind of have an overview of that. And then there's information in there about the library, that it's open. There's some needs that they have there. You can look at those. And then the women's Bible study is going to be starting up here the beginning of September. And there's information, there's a flyer in there about that. And you can talk to Leanna if you need more information on that. So with that, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the cooler weather, but it seems like with that cooler weather, the smoke just kind of hangs in here. And just praying that you would scour that out of here. I know it's an issue, especially for people with respiratory problems, but it's pretty annoying. And Father, I want to lift up all the firefighters around the country that are dealing with different fires, praying for their safety. Praying that you give them wisdom, help them to make the best decisions when they're out there in the midst of the fire. And then those who were back running things too, Father, that you would help them to know what the best course of action. Praying for some rain, that would really help out to be able to knock some of these fires down. And Father, I thank you for all these people that are here this morning. I pray that they would be blessed for being here, that they will hear you this morning, and that they will not only hear you, but then will choose to obey you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Divert the rain from the east to the west.
Yes, there's plenty of it back there. All right. Well, we kind of already started this series because it was an intro to this. We're starting in Romans 12. I'm going to be doing a series in Romans 12. We'll be working through the various verses. So if you'd open your Bible to Romans 12, we're looking at verse 1 today. Romans 12, 1. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Is it good? There we go. What would church be without technical difficulties? A lot quieter, right? All right. So, yeah, you can go to the next slide. So this is actually a goat dressed up as a human being. And then down at the bottom, you can see him telling the people, sacrifice is bad. Because, of course, the goat's the one that's getting sacrificed. So, but what we're going to learn today is that sacrifice is good. Sacrificing ourselves for God because of who he is, what he's done. What image comes to your mind when you hear this passage? A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Giving our bodies holy and acceptable. What does that conjure up for you? Maybe you're thinking, really, God, seriously? That's what you expect? You know, I give some money on a fairly regular basis. I go to church most Sundays. I might even go on a short-term mission trip. Isn't that good enough? Not according to Romans 12:1. What God expects is complete sacrifice, a living sacrifice. In chapters 1 through 11 of Romans, Paul has been teaching doctrine. He's been teaching who God is and who we are, what God's done for us. He's laying that doctrinal foundation for what's now going to happen in chapters 12 and on, the application of this. 12 through 16 is, what's our responsibility? What's the practical application that we need to do? Godly living and sound doctrine go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. James 2:19 through 20 says, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe in God, and they shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? To say, well, yeah, I believe in God. I mean, that's what he's saying here. Well, I believe in God, and he's saying, yeah, so do the demons. Big deal. What are you doing with that belief? Are you living it out? Are you acting on it? An overview of chapter 12 here is verses 1 through 2 is talking about total commitment. This week we talk about that living sacrifice. Next week we'll talk about our minds and how we're to use those, what we're to do there. In verse 3 it talks about our relationship to God and others. And then verses 4 through 21 it talks about how we are to love others. So in chapter 12, basically, it's summing up the two greatest commandments. To number one, love God with absolutely your whole being, with everything you are, love God. And then another one is to love your neighbor as yourself. If we totally, absolutely love God, we're willing to sacrifice ourselves. We're willing to be those living sacrifices. And then as that plays out, we're to love others from that. A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. It's almost contradictory when you think about sacrifice, especially when it comes to the Bible and that culture. Paul is saying here, I urge you, brethren. In other words, he's talking to other believers. Brethren, I urge you, brethren. He has this desire for them to live a certain way. And he's urging them. He's not commanding them, even though Paul would have the authority to do that. But he's in relationship with them. Philemon 8 and 9. Paul speaking here, he says, therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what's proper,
Yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you. I'm urging you. I desire for you to do this. And then what is our motive to be a living sacrifice? Well, going back through the previous chapters, remember how verse 12, 1 starts, therefore, and remember what we talked about that. Why is the therefore? What's it there for, right? So you look back. What's our motive? Our motive is God. Our motive is what he has done, who he is. Our understanding that we are sinners. Romans 3, 9 through 12 says, "For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin." So everybody is under sin. "As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is no one who does good. There is not even one." That's not very encouraging, is it? Well, praise God, he took care of that. He came after us because of his grace. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't wait for us to get our act together because he knew we couldn't. And he said, "I'm going to send my son to die for them in their sin. His death will pay the price." Lamentations 3, Jeremiah speaking here. He says, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him." God makes a way for us. Our motivation needs to be him. We then need to accept what God says. That if he's provided a way for salvation, if he's provided a way to take care of our sin, we need to accept it. Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Whoever. It doesn't matter who they are. If they will call on God's name, they will be saved. If they understand that Jesus Christ is Savior, that he's come to save us from our sin. We should be motivated out of gratitude of what God's done for us. Because of God's mercies. Jeremiah said, his mercies are new every morning. You can't use them up. They're new every morning. There's a story about he was a captain in the Salvation Army. It says, "The proper response to receiving God's mercy is to give yourself totally to him out of gratitude." Years ago, Captain Shaw, a medical missionary with the Salvation Army in India, visited a leper colony that his mission was taking over. He saw three men with shackles on their hands and feet, cutting into their diseased flesh. Captain Shaw's eyes brimmed with tears as he told the guard, "Please unfasten the chains." "It isn't safe," the guard replied. "These men are dangerous criminals as well as lepers." "I'll be responsible," said Shaw. "Their suffering is enough." After the shackles were removed, he tenderly treated the men's bleeding wrists and ankles. About 2 weeks later, Captain Shaw had his first misgivings about freeing these criminals. He had to make an overnight trip, and he hesitated to leave his wife and child alone. His wife insisted that she wasn't afraid. God was there. The next morning, she went to the front door and was startled to see the three former criminals lying on her steps. One explained, "We know the Dr. Goh. We stay here all night so no harm come to you." These men had experienced the doctor's mercy. They responded out of love and gratitude by serving him. And that's what God's done for us. He's removed the shackles. He's taking care of our sin. And out of that love and gratitude for him, we need to be willing to give ourselves as holy living sacrifices. Our motivation comes from who God is. And that's what Paul's been building on for 11 chapters. He is our greatest motive. We need to be committed. We need to be committed. Being a sacrifice for us is an act of our will. We're choosing to do that. Just like I said before, Paul's not commanding them to do it. He's urging them to do it. That this should be an act of worship that glorifies God. If you think of the picture of sacrifice, so Paul would be talking to Jewish and Gentile believers. They would have an understanding of sacrifice. The Jews, of course, have this amazing understanding that the sacrifices were made to take care of sin, that it was this picture leading to Christ. But even the Gentiles, there was sacrifice made to the gods, to appease the gods. So they understood the idea of sacrificing an animal, killing an animal, spilling its blood as a sacrifice, whether to atone for sin or to try to appease the gods or to try to get something from the gods. They understood this. But Paul is coming and saying, I want you to be a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. I want you to be a living sacrifice. This sacrifice is it's initial and it's progressive. In other words, at the time of salvation, we make the sacrifice to follow Christ. But it's also progressive in that as we learn more about God, as we learn more about Christ, the sacrifice changes. It becomes more clear what God wants us to do as we grow, as we progress in our faith. Stephen Cole says this about that. You present all of yourself that you're aware of to all of God that you know. Let me say that again. You present all of yourself that you're aware of to all of God that you know. But as you grow in the Christian life, you become aware of areas in your life that are not yielded to God. So you put those things on the altar. You come to understand more about the lordship of Christ that you knew before. You know more than you knew before. So you yield again and again to him. So there is a first time when you present your entire life to the Lord to do whatever he wants you to do. But it's also progressive as you grow to understand more and more about yourself and God. You think about when you were first saved, how much you really knew about God. You know, most of us, probably very little, really. What really who God was, who he truly was. But then as we grow in our faith, as we study God's word, as we spend time with him and with others, we get to know more and more and more about God and who he is and what he's done. And that should drive us to do more and more, to sacrifice more and more. This was a physical act that needed to be made by our will. Jesus gave us that example that he gave himself physically hanging on the cross for us. He gave up his body for us. If you will, he was a living sacrifice. He ended up dying, but he came back to life. He was the perfect sacrifice. Perfect, unblemished sacrifice that God required. Jesus speaking in Mark chapter 8, speaking to the crowd and to his disciples, he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. Woohoo! Man, isn't that exciting? Take up the cross. Give up my life. But that is what's best. That is what will most glorify God. Romans 6:13, Paul talking about this issue of presenting ourselves. He says, do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So just as before you were saved, you're willing to present your bodies to sin, turn that around 180 degrees. Now give yourselves to God, presenting your bodies to Him. Being a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, which would have been the old sacrificial system, but a living sacrifice, one who continues to serve God. We're to be a holy sacrifice. So that term holy means to be set apart for God. We need to have that attitude that we're setting ourselves apart for Him. That sacrifice needs to be an unblemished sacrifice, one that's acceptable to God. Now, we in ourselves cannot be an unblemished sacrifice because sin has tainted us, and it still does taint us. But what Jesus did on the cross cleanses us. So in God's perspective, as He looks at us who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, He sees us unblemished as we sacrifice ourselves to Him. That also means that we need to, on a continually basis, be confessing our sin before Him. Because we're still all sinners. Anyone in here not sin after they were saved? Anyone in here not sin today? We do. We continue to sin because of that human nature that's in us. But that doesn't mean we have to live in that sin. We present our bodies to Him. We confess ourselves to Him saying, yeah, God, I blew it again. And what did Lamentations say? His mercies are new every day. So go to God in faith, confessing that sin so that you can be that acceptable living sacrifice to Him. An acceptable aroma. It talks about that in the Old Testament sacrifices, how the aroma, the smoke that would come up from the sacrifice was well-pleasing to God because He knew why they were doing it. That they wanted that relationship with Him, that they understood that this had to be done. Ephesians 5:1-2 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. The sacrifice of Christ on the cross was an acceptable, fragrant aroma to God to take care of sin. Now, this next part I found very interesting as I was studying this. Some of your Bibles may say your spiritual service of worship, or some of it may say an acceptable worship. So the term that's used here, logikos, that's the Greek. It's where we get our word logical. It has these two ideas of reasonable or logical, but also a spiritual context. You think about the Levitical service in the tabernacle or the temple, where they would go in and they would serve God. They would make the sacrifice. They would give themselves in the service of God to worship Him. But it also is something that it makes sense because of what God's done for us. That's why it's reasonable. So you may think, you know, that term reasonable probably fits maybe a little bit better, only because it comes into so much conflict with what it's talking about. A living sacrifice. It's reasonable. You would think, that doesn't sound very reasonable to me. It's reasonable because of who God is. It is a reasonable way for us to act. There is only two places in Scripture where this term is even used. One of them is here. The other one's in 1 Peter 2:2. In 1 Peter 2:2, it says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, logikos, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. The pure milk, just as a baby needs milk to grow. That's a reasonable thing. It's reasonable for us to want to give ourselves as a sacrifice to God in serving Him, in worshiping Him. That which makes the most sense. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Remembering who God is, having that picture of God so that we can revere Him, we can have awe for Him, and we're willing to give ourselves wholly to Him. Have you experienced God's grace and mercy? Well, you know where this is going. Then present your bodies as living and holy sacrifices, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. In gratitude, your motivation needs to be gratitude and love, not I have to do this to gain favor with God. I want to do this because of what He did for me. If you've experienced His grace and His mercy, His forgiveness, then give yourself as living and holy sacrifices. Let's pray. Father God, this is one of those verses that's just so hard to comprehend. A living sacrifice. And yet that is your expectation. That if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we have accepted your grace and your mercy, then it's reasonable for you to expect us to give then back to you ourselves. Because we were dead in sin. You made us alive in Christ. So we now, these bodies, our whole physical being, this new thing. Now we're now living, we're alive. So we need to serve you. If we love you, just as it said in Mark, the greatest commandments, to love you with every single part of our being. This is how you want us to show it, by being that living sacrifice and by loving other people, by loving our neighbors as ourselves. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help us. We cannot do this on our own. This is not humanly possible. But if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the Holy Spirit within us that will help us do this. And it will be a daily sacrifice that we make. It's not going to be a one-time thing. It is going to be ongoing, this act of our will to serve you out of love. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for providing that sacrifice for us. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week.